Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
I'm Matt Gourley from the Andy Daily Podcast Pilot Project Season 2.
And I'm James Bladen from... You know me from Twitter. Come on.
I'm Mark McConville, and you could find me on MySpace. I still have a page.
So do I.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't ever go to it, but it's there.
I think I still have my Friendster profile.
Ooh.
That seems impossible.
I mean, if it's still... I didn't close it out.
You never closed it out?
No, I never got... I never sold it.
I heard for a while...
You sold it!
Sold it.
I'm still sitting on that property.
Yeah, buddy.
I think, didn't Friendster before, like when MySpace first took over, everybody left, and then Friendster became kind of like a gay hookup thing for a while.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. It was like a, like everybody cleared out, and then other people kind of moved in, you know, like a, it like happens in neighborhoods, you know, people just kind of changed, became a less popular, you know, less in-demand neighborhood, so everybody's like, oh, we can make this ours, and it was...
Well, I hear briefly, MySpace is gentrifying.
Yeah.
Urban renewal.
Right. Well, thanks for coming back, everybody. We are...
Thanks for having us.
Sorry. 92 of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And Minute 92 starts with some kind of double clock wipe to the lava planet. And it ends with Yoda, Space Jimmy Smits, and the gang talking to Mos Amita on the phone.
Space phone.
Hello? Space phone.
That wipe, I did make a note that, like, Lucas is running out of wipes at that point, because there's so many different wipes, and then he'll reuse the classic wipes, but
sure.
That one is just, like...
But I tried to look it up to figure out what, because it's not a clock wipe, because that's, like, that would be one, and that would, you know, traditionally like it's supposed to indicate the passage of time, and it's not a, there's a pinwheel wipe, which is, like, multiple of those, which is... supposed to be disorienting or something like that, but this just kind of double clock wipe. I don't know what
it feels like. They had to combine two wipes because they're just like, we gotta get a new wipe. We're losing people.
We're in the home stretch. We can't fall now.
Are wipes what bring you back to the theater? I mean,
me personally,
yeah. I don't find wipes to be that engaging. I'll take the one wipe over and over. I don't care.
Well. Mm.
You guys feel differently?
Star Wars is known for its types of wipes.
Wipes of wipes.
Well,
there's a lot of wipe types in Star Wars.
Wipe type.
Well, you're saying that they started to use more, so they're known for that?
Well, I do think that they, like, the original trilogy had a few wipes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Up and down.
Clock wipes.
Mm-hmm.
Did clock wipes.
I think there's an iris wipe in there.
Counter clock wipes.
Yeah.
There's definitely some, like, diagonal... wipes
right.
across the screen diagonally.
In Star Wars?
Yeah.
Are the counterclockwise
in the trilogy
wipes the reversal of time?
Yeah, when you go backwards in time, it does a reverse.
But I bet they were like,
previously.
We shouldn't keep using the same old wipes. Let's invent some new wipes.
But isn't that picture editing 101 that you don't use all the stupid extra wipes
that
come in Premiere
but
or
when
whatever?
When you're on your sixth movie, you're feeling great pressure. You got your wife yelling at you about wipes.
Your wife wipe.
Yeah.
George, could you pick up some new wipes while you're out?
Oh, golly.
If you're relying on wipes to make your movie more interesting.
Have you seen this film?
But that's the thing, too, is that it's not going from, you know, kind of people talking to people talking. It's going from people talking to, like, crazy lava planet. And it's and, like, then there's interesting stuff going on when we get there. But it's a weird, like, to get there, you have to give it this weird.
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
Like, maybe they tried one wipe and it was like, not quite enough.
We got to dial it up.
Yeah.
Because like, these wipes, even I think in 77, these wipes were a throwback to the cereal wipes, right?
Right.
Cereal wipes. Mm.
Cereal wipes.
Don't eat breakfast before using cereal wipes.
But I don't know. Did the cereal wipes include all form of star wipes and diagonal wipes, or were they just...
I think there was just like an iris wipe, maybe a clock wipe was probably the fanciest you could get. But that, you're right. Like, this is... They're moving the goalposts. They're stepping up their game.
I don't know what it's called. But wouldn't there be one that's like sort of like a shimmer curtain?
Yeah, they've never
used that.
That
would be like a dream. That would be like going into a dream.
Yeah,
right. There is the wipe. Is it in Jedi when the droids are being lifted out of the sand that it wipes with them and it looks like they're bisected or something?
In Star Wars when they're lifting up C-3PO,
the wipe goes up.
Yeah, I think
him in the oil bath.
Golden Tony wasn't wearing pants, so they just kind of like lifted him up and they move the wipe with it. They're like,
yeah, that was a wipe of necessity. Necessity wipe.
Don't eat breakfast before using necessity wipes.
Or after.
Necessity brand cereal wipes. So we cut to this. This is the kind of thing where, I forgot what, there's some other examples of this, but it's like, if you were kind of into the lore of Star Wars when it came out, we can only imagine what that would be like. But then all of a sudden you see this, oh, there's a lava planet. Oh, I know, like, stuff happens on a lava planet. This was in the novelization of Return of the Jedi. They were like, you know, mentioned that Darth Vader and Obi-Wan fought on a lava planet. And there's like a, oh, they're going to go to a lava. Like, is this a lava? Is this what's happening? Is this happening? And it's a cool kind of like little tingle. But then they also, it's this weird, you know, the prequel thing where it's like some good stuff mixed with some, then it's like a little bit too busy of like, here's some cute droids floating around and video popping out factor, of the,
Well, and also strangely, droids and some sort of humanoids are doing the same job.
Yeah.
You see literally droids dipping into the lava and then these sort of bipeds with long sticks.
Pulling out what looked to be giant lava ice cubes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But it's also like, what is it, a gallon of lava they're pulling out? I mean, there's got to be a more efficient way to get the lava to market, doesn't there? I mean, you would have gigantic things with like a ship that just drops down like one of those things that drops water on a fire.
Just like some kind of machine that collects it as a river. Like,
as it's flowing, it just flows into it.
But and why are they collecting in the first place?
And why do you never hear about it again? No, I mean, like, this is actually one of the things that's problematic for me about the prequels overall is that you have this lava planet, like you guys, like we were just saying, you maybe read about it in a tertiary book, but it's never mentioned.
That's not true. That's where Darth Vader makes his home in Rogue One. They go back to Mustafar. That's
Rogue One.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these films were made after 4, 5, and 6, right? Yeah. And you never hear the story of this stuff, so then it gets brought back. Yeah. It just seems very consequential to never be mentioned by anyone involved ever again.
Yeah.
Right. All the stuff that is mentioned too much and is too
familiar. There's connective tissue that is mentioned, right? And then this is sort of this thing that no one's ever seen or heard of. Does the planet... I haven't watched the whole film since I saw it years ago. Does the planet get destroyed?
No.
And it seems like they've got people mining lava all day long, so why... that if that's what they're doing, then ostensibly it's valuable to gather this stuff, so why isn't this planet still being fought over or
those are hobbyist lava miners. Okay. Then, like bird watching.
If that's the case, then I'm willing to let this whole thing slide.
I was always artisanal lava blocks that go for hundreds of credits.
It's craft lava.
I was always somehow very aware of this like Obi-Wan and Vader fought each other on a lava planet, but I always heard it through friends. I never knew where this thing came from, and it always felt like some kind of novel or expanded universe or comic book thing. So when it actually showed up in the movie, I was a little disappointed, I guess, where I felt like, oh, you're slumming here a little bit. Let's come on, we already know this could happen. Give us maybe something new or some twist. Yeah, or something right. different. Yeah.
So it's a validating know. Kind of playground talk
yeah.
into reality. It's like, oh, well, yeah. like, I thought you could do better than, you know, 8-year-old Jimmy.
Right. Turns out he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a text from a friend of mine who's like, I hadn't seen him since second grade. He's like, told you, see? So, I owe him a soda.
And I think any human, even near that lava flow, would yeah. basically spontaneously
well,
yeah. become on fire.
We'll see. These are they're not quite humans.
No, those guys are not humans.
Yeah. Right.
But later on, yes. That's not this minute.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But Pete, it sounds like you got something to say about these guys.
A little bit. Do you have data on the, I feel like
the Mustafarians?
Yeah.
No.
Nope, really?
The only thing I could find is that there's northern Mustafarians sure. and southern Mustafarians.
Yes.
The lava's hotter down south.
My stalls. Due to Clea.
And there's also this, the outfits that they wear
mm-hmm.
are made from. I didn't write it down because I was like, that's totally stuff that Alex would write down.
Sorry.
Their outfits are made from like the skins of like lava beetles or something like that. That made,
protect them.
That, sure. Yeah. So they like, they skin the native creatures and make these kind of protective coats.
Wow.
And the creatures are the same ones who make all the little caverns that the lava flows through. They like bore through the rocks. It's like
that makes a lot.
It's so awesome that George Lucas planned all of this out and wrote this down for people to write future material from
on his little yellow notepad from 1976. It was just like Northern Mustafari.
I think he actually started with that idea and then built the rest of the mythology.
Yeah, the planet is called Mustafar. Originally, it was named Mufasta, and they changed it. But weirdly, Mufasta is Arabic for chosen one. That's strange.
Oh.
I like it. Mufasta, Mufasta, Mufasta. Okay, now you're the Mustafar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mufasta and
long.
Move more intense.
Yeah.
Is that Jeremy Bullock in the Tent TV4?
That is.
Okay.
That is Jeremy Bullock as Captain Colton.
Oh, I did not recognize him.
Captain Colton.
How many characters does he play in this movie, in this series? Like, because he's also a Imperial Guard, right?
Yeah, and at least three.
Yeah. And I think, doesn't he show up in, was he in, like, the bar in episode one or something like
that? He probably is.
Some of the other guys were
in. So he's the pilot in the ship? Is that what we're?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a good time to mention this crossover series we're doing here today at Podcast Central. And you'll be on James Bonding discussing actors that have been in both Star Wars and James Bond. Jeremy Bullock is one of them. He was Q's assistant for a run of the films.
Yeah.
So, you know, hop on over to James Bonding to get your real fix of the five of us.
It may have already happened, right?
Oh,
depending
maybe.
On air, the time-space continuum.
That's right.
So either look for it or have looked for it.
Yeah.
Use the reverse wipe for that.
Yeah, the wipe will be
time wipe.
Counterclock wipe.
If you want to get that one.
But yeah, it's a cool setting that's made too busy. Like if they just had like establishing shot of lava planet, I'm cool with that. But then it's like little cute little robots coming out of like a little floaty droid coming out of the lava, which is like,
yeah,
I don't know.
So
it's a lot.
Yes. Yeah. They went apparently to Mount Etna and filmed actual lava exploding. Mm. Some of this in the movie is actual stuff from Mount Etna. And the rest of it was a lot of practical effects. The lava was made out of a food additive with light underneath it to make it look.
Yeah, it's crazy how you think that's delicious. All CG.
Yeah.
And it isn't. And yet they still did practical and managed to make it look CG.
It's like, yeah, let's take this beautiful, like, kind of handcrafted thing that we made and then just put some little cutesy robots in it.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
We'll make everybody kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, so then we have new Gunray and the Emperor.
Yes, good the Separatist Council.
Mm-hmm. Good to have Gunray back.
Should we review some of the members of the Separatist Council? I think that's in my notes from a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
You guys would all appreciate
it. I need to know.
Real quick, Mark and James, which are your favorites from the Separatist Council?
Don't make me choose amongst my babies.
Doesn't have to be current members. Could be all time, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, classic.
That widens the field.
Classic Separatist Council members.
Mine's probably Barch Aethram.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Barch Aethram?
Yeah. Barch Aethram.
Mine's Scam Caller.
Scam Likely.
Scam Likely, you're right.
I think mine is Rimsky Korsakov.
Well, the members that I think we see here, cutting back to...
we see the Walrus Man guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's Senator...
Walrus Men.
That's Panda and Baba, right?
But wait, they have four eyes. But Panda doesn't have four eyes, does he?
Oh.
No. They're different race.
The North and the South?
Yeah, the North,
yeah, it's
North
the, and the South.
Northern
it's the mutant variation of...
Literally, I declare. Two more eyes.
Declare.
That is Senator... Senator Po Nudo from
Po Space Nudo or just one word Po Nudo. Yeah.
Space Nudo.
Okay. Space Nudo.
They phase them out once they get too old in that
right, yeah. And in fact, Ricky Martin was once the Senator of Po Nudo. We also see of course Viceroy Newt Gunray, mm-hmm. who's a settlement officer.
Settlement officer.
Is that a demote? Is he demoted?
No, he's still viceroy, but he added another.
He's a side gig.
Wow, yeah. No kidding.
Double responsibility.
Huh? I'm not just a viceroy. I'm also a settlement officer.
I'm not just a viceroy. I'm a settlement officer too. Ask me how to be a settlement officer. Ask a settlement officer.
His friend, of course, Rune Hako, the other Neimoidian, is Archduke. He's Rune Hako. We've also got Archduke Poggle the Lesser.
He's not like his old man.
He's the, I can't remember the name of the planet anymore.
Geonosian.
Oh,
yeah.
Those bug things we saw.
Oh, wait, that's right. Oh, yeah, Poggle the Lesser. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
His famous quote.
Yeah, that's right.
Now that you did that, I wish we had you come in character as Poggle the Lesser. Dude, yeah. The whole
you
episode.
Landed him. I'm going to do an I Was There Too of just Poggle the Lesser.
We've got Foreman / Emir Wat Tambor from the Techno Union. He's the guy who looks kind of like, what do you say, a cross between a refrigerator and Frankenberry, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Is he the...
Yeah, yeah.
The Techno Union.
Yeah.
He's the one who,
looks on your face.
You can't tell if this is a bit or not, but it's not, I assure you.
No, I know it's not.
Completely real.
Yeah.
He's a foreman. He's the foreman of his
planet.
He's
the foreman and the emir.
Oh, and the emir.
What? So he's a contractor and a ruler.
Yes.
Wow. Every contractor needs a ruler.
He's a contracting ruler. It's like a measuring tape.
Yeah.
He's the one. Wat Tambor, if you notice, is just the one stuck with like looking at Darth Sidious's butt for this whole phone call. Because like Sidious is facing Newt Gunray, and so the way they're seated around the table and the hologram's in the middle, and so Wat Tambor is just kind of staring at Palpatine's butt.
So they didn't have the technology to like Haunted Mansion technology to have it follow you around the room. Like, no matter where you are, it's looking at you.
Yeah, it should be.
But when we come in, like, the camera starts kind of coming in the room and then going around the table. And as it goes around the table, you see that the hologram is kind of fixed and the people sitting around it. Sometimes you get the butt.
Well, that's the catbird seat, man.
Do you think that each of those members of the council could carry their own Star Wars spinoff film?
Everyone has a story to tell.
Yeah. Right?
It would be, maybe condense it a bit, make it kind of a
anthology film.
Yeah, like kind of follow the money kind of a thing where it starts with one guy goes to the next guy.
All the president's men of the separatist
council. And you're just going from person to person. First you're with Ponudo for a while, then you go to Uwat Tambor.
Ponudo.
Then you go to Chairman San Hill.
Is he the as mayor of Munchkin City?
Yeah. Sort of John Kerry looking guy. Yeah.
What in the San Hill? Wait, that's his name?
San Hill.
San Hill.
He's the chairman.
San Hill. S-A-N.
S-A-N.
Right.
He's probably my second favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He looks like a cross between John Kerry and Mac Tonight, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of, Mac Tonight!
Which Ki Adi Mundi looks like, too.
Oh, yeah.
To me. Yeah.
Mundi.
People underestimate Mac's influence on
that's true.
Star Wars.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
In the background, he's not seated at the table, I don't think, and it's weird. In the background, kind of like
doesn't deserve it.
Getting a cup of coffee or something, you see Magistrate Pasel Argente, who's the guy that he looks like a pile of laundry.
This seems like you're almost like doing a test on test to see if these names are flying with an audience. Pasel Argente, anyone?
It's basically me teaching how long until I get the hook here. Like how long until somebody plays me off.
James and I are over here like, you made that one up.
Yeah, they all sound
you tried to slip one past us here.
Yeah. It's like my Oscar speech. I'm like, I wanted to thank Pasel Argente.
Oh, man.
I think, over on the side, we see Presidente Xu Mai. Xu Mai.
He's an Asian who holds a Latin American office. In space.
That's the important part.
I love it.
And do you remember Presidente Xu Mai's race? I forgot.
No, I don't remember. Right.
So who's the highest ranking of all these members? Is there one?
It should be Presidente.
Like they all think each one is. You know, they're like, well, I'm Presidente. Obviously, I'm in charge.
Well, I'm Amir.
I think
Newt is the... Because he's addressing Newt directly, isn't he?
Well, he's the one who's got the in with...
So he must be the...
But I think then as soon as the call is over, then maybe, Uwat Tambor comes over. He's like, okay, guys, so what are our action items?
Listen to me.
I just can't believe at the end of that call, nobody pipes up and says, that was threatening.
Yeah.
Nobody, right. I mean, we talked about Lucas being an editor. Boy, he lets that hang.
Yeah.
The call's over, and then they just start looking at each other.
Right. For he what will feels take like. Care of you.
Yeah, like, it's so, he will take care of you. It's so threatening, and they don't...
Red flags.
Nobody in the whole room goes, oh, that's a little...
What? He been good to us before?
Don't rock the boat.
If you're Palpatine, would you really want to tip your hand like that? What's the point of saying those words and almost pausing before he says, he will...
He knows they're so dumb that they want...
It is like a weird sort of melodramatic Halloween episode. He'll come and... take care of you.
He must have been a sexual.
He should almost do like a Norman Fell, like he'll take care of you, and then like look at the camera and like everybody the whole council's like, woo!
How do these guys get to their high stature in politics and diplomacy without having some sort of ability to read the the subtext of what someone's saying. The
very naive planets maybe they come from.
Jedi mind tricking him or Sith mind tricking him from afar.
Or is it maybe
like the, you know, because it's the Separatist Council, they're from a lot of different worlds. Mm. Maybe basic isn't their first language. Right. So they're like the idiom is kind of lost on them. And they're like, oh, great. He's going to take care of us.
Oh, but even so,
if I'm like speaking in, I don't know, like Huttese, and I deliver something like, Conchi Santa Bantanto. Conchita. There'd still be a, like, I'd still want to know, like, hey, can I get a couple translations of that? Just, you know, like the colloquial
what
version.
What part did he stress? He'll take care of you? He'll take care of you? What? Which was that last word? He'll take care of you.
The thing I like about Sidious is because he has those robes, he can't just have his hands hanging down. He always has to have them up like a,
Osborne
or like a Mr. Burns kind of like a little Tyrannosaurus.
In T-Rex position. It's like he's ready to shoot the electricity at any moment.
Probably he's got somebody cowering in his office and he's like, oh, hang on a second, I've got a call.
I've got to take this.
It is weird because in Jedi he's kind of svelte in his robe, just kind of hangs freely, and in this one you got to feel like, because this just happened to him, he's just real puffy from the reaction. So like even his face is puffier and swollen.
Take some anti-inflammatory.
That's right.
Maybe his arms like that because he's lying down, he's just like the camera's above. Listen, my assistant's coming.
You got me at a good time.
Well, yeah, that's the other. So Newt Gunray, at least, who's been with them the whole time. So Newt Gunray was his kind of first contact, and then the Separatist Council kind of built around this. Newt Gunray must think that, like, either Darth Sidious is difficult to work with, or there's something wrong, because, like every time he talks to him, he's got a new assistant that's, like, coming through, and it's, like, you know, lots of turnover.
Yeah.
There's some kind of staffing issue over at Sith headquarters, and he's like, really? Like, we just talked to that guy, then that guy, then that, now you got another new guy? What
it's
happened
like
to the
Trump's
last guy?
Cabinet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, like, communications officer every time.
Yeah, nobody ever thinks, like, I'm a vice whatever. Right. I'm this high-ranking official. You're sending an apprentice here to take care of me.
Right.
Great.
And we got to train him in, probably, right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Using our resources.
I already let the last intern know how to make my coffee, and now we're getting rid of that one? Great.
I did like that Count Dooku guy. He seemed like he'd been around a bit.
He knew what was going on.
Sorry, Dooku.
So they got to print up a new security badge for him and everything.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Nobody seems to react in a way like, you know, we saw early on, even going back to the Phantom Menace. This is all my subtle things to kind of support my theory that the Phantom Menace is better than this, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think I agree.
In the Phantom Menace, we had them kind of, you know, Darth Sidious would say something like that, and then the two kind of Neimoidians would be like, oh, like a
Sith,
you know,
here?
Yeah, they'd be all worried. They'd be
are you brain dead?
And here they're just kind of like, okay, see you later. I guess maybe it's just three movies on, and they're like, oh, all right, he just says this kind of stuff all the time.
It is like Trump, but just like,
there you go.
Don't worry. It's just he's always the last person he spoke to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had for 92. You got anything else? You guys have any other notes on this Separatist Council?
No, I'm anyone? Tapped.
I have some things to say about Mas Amata, but we'll cover it next episode, I think. Right. I think that guy needs to be talked about. I don't have anything important to say about it.
It does, I guess maybe we can get into it too. Just that office conference room is on this lava planet.
Yeah.
It's a
retreat.
The last
business retreat.
It's like Camp David.
Their last meeting was like in an open hangar that was on a planet that had like crazy stuff going on too. It was like a weird, like they don't have a weird, like a permanent place to sit and relax.
It's like a summit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of on the move and all these, you know, like.
But it's pretty well appointed like for exactly what they need to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's like a state. Like first, there's an advanced squad that goes in and sets up the conference call system and arranges the chairs and gets everything all set up. And then they move to that one.
Sorry, did we get to the part where then they're in the ship with Smits and that's in this minute, right?
The very beginning of that. Is at that minute. We just talked about how the pilot was Jeremy Bullock, but
Okay.
Do you want to go into that? There's more of that tomorrow. We can do it now.
No, but I will say that seeing that shot when they're in the ship made me really think of Ralph McQuarrie. painting. Mm. The colors of it, for some reason, really look like...
Mm. Oh, because you can. You said because you can see like Coruscant, and it's kind of beige. And
yeah,
all that.
And just yeah. because it's everybody's back.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And it reminds me of the way he would paint those things. It's like you're kind of seeing the back of people's heads.
And right. then they've right. got they're kind of shadowed.
They're kind of shadowed. It's almost yeah. silhouetted a little bit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really liked that part yeah. because I love those paintings.
Yeah.
And I always wish that the movies were more like the paintings for some reason. I don't know why.
That is what I really like about the new stuff is you're seeing more Rogue One in particular. A lot of Macquarie stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like those death troopers.
I can't imagine any of you are interested in watching the Rebels cartoon, but they do use a lot of Macquarie designs.
Oh, that's right. Because even the Macquarie Chewbacca's in that.
Yeah.
And if you're
really desperate for some Macquarie, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, more to the point, there's the... a while ago, the Marvel Comics did The Star Wars as a comic series where they took Lucas's first draft and then took all the characters based on the Macquarie drawings that went with it, the concept art that went with it, and then just told that story. So it's like, you know, Windy and Deke and the Kyber crystals and the, you know, Han Solo's the lizard man and all kinds of...
I've never looked at a George Lucas project and said, you know what, I bet that was better in an earlier draft.
Right.
Let's see that story.
Yeah.
You know what, this needs a little less polish. All right, well, there's more space cockpit talk, etc. Tomorrow. Can you guys all come back tomorrow?
No problem.
For tomorrow's episode?
Yeah.
I'll be here anyway. Right.
Alex? Well, there's more than enough.
More than enough droid. So good. I'll see myself out.
But hopefully we'll all be back here tomorrow. In the meantime, if you'd like to, you'd want to get a shirt or something, or a mug, or a sticker, phone case, why not go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch, M-E-R-C-H, and that'll take you to our Tee Public page where you can get all that stuff. We got a bunch of different designs, and suit yourself. Literally, suit yourself.
Make a suit out of
yourself.
Head to toe in Star Wars Minute gear.
Beatles skin.
Yeah. Flame-resistant Beatles skin. And then we'll be back here tomorrow for a brand new episode
of Star Wars.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.